You're listening to News New Mexico, where our business is New Mexico's business.
Launch Control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Hold on to your lug nuts. It's time for an overhaul.
Turn it up, son.
I'm your huckleberry.
I don't give jobs, I hire men. You won't give me anything, and I won't give you anything.
Collision, sir.
Whoa, relax. We're not even moving.
There's no crying in baseball.
We are News New Mexico. It's Friday, November 4th, 2011. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. Website, newsnm.com. Remember, read to your kids 20 minutes each day so that they're able to read the contract when they put you in the nursing home. Albert Einstein said, "We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them." I believe that's true. On our newsmaker line, we have Rob Nicoleski, CapitalReportNewMexico.com. And in studio, we have Heath Houselman, who has NMPolitics.net. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, I guess it's Blogger Friday, huh?
Blogger Friday.
Blogger Friday.
All right. Heath, are you sending a Christmas card to Gary King this year?
I don't send Christmas cards to any elected officials.
Oh, how's okay. That's evasive. Rob, what do you think?
Well, I wanted to ask Heath about that. If you can go in a little bit more detail, I read the column, but maybe for the to enlighten the listeners, I guess Gary King, the Attorney General of the state of New Mexico, is none too happy with you, and you are none too happy with him.
Well, you know, it's Rob, I'm sure you can vouch for this. It's not unusual to upset a politician as a journalist. What is unusual, or what was unusual to me in this case, was that the Attorney General, In a formal correspondence with the Secretary of State's office in response to an investigation into whether he violated campaign contribution laws, tossed an allegation at me that I was, you know, conspiring with the Secretary of State to deflect attention from a scandal involving the governor by creating a false scandal with the Attorney General. One of the most bizarre things. I mean, I've had some bizarre allegations thrown at me, but that was pretty close to the top of the list.
Now, I read all your stuff, Heath, and I have seen you get pretty much right in, metaphorically, of course, the face of the Secretary of State over some other issues, which we should get to in a minute. But that is really, to me, when I see something like that, it suggests that Gary King is upset at the facts surrounding what you're addressing, because there is nobody who can make the case for Heath Houselman being the best friend of Diana Durant.
Well, and Rob, here would be the question. Can they intimidate you? Can one of those politicians, by being angry at you, are you intimidatable, if there is such a word?
I would say no, except Mimi Stewart's got I would not have wanted to have been one of her students that got on the wrong side of her when she was teaching public school.
I agree with that completely.
That's now, the only one. Huh?
There are some politicians attempt to intimidate or influence journalists, I think, all the time. And there are some who it's easier, I think, to stand up to than others. But I think we have a job to stand up to them regardless of who they are.
How about Big Bill? Big Bill Richardson.
You know, all Bill Richardson did to me was blacklist me. And, you know, I could go to his website to get his news releases. And if he didn't want to comment in my stories, fine. They were less objective stories because of it. So that was his problem.
Yeah, I find that most politicians, though, feel that they can get farther with honey than they can with the back of their hand. So most of them are trying to schmooze you. It's kind of funny, and I'm sure Heath has had this many more times than me, is that you can write a pretty harsh article, and then you run into them a couple days later, and they're happy to see you and very nice, and you know, so I'm sure the behind closed doors are saying horrible things about you, but I think most politicians sort of realize that it's better to be the hail fellow well met than it is to be the intimidator, because I think Richard Nixon learned this. He may have even said this at the very end, was that you can never quite win with the media, because the media always gets the last word.
Well, or never fight with people who buy their ink by the barrel. Of course, in the digital age, that may not be as applicable now, particularly within this group of people, since none of us buy ink, let alone by the barrel. So, Heath, let's get the other one out on the table, which makes the story so ironic, is that you have been pursuing the Secretary of State, And she has not been forthcoming. And we have actually sent emails to her as well, inviting her to come on the show. Absolutely no response whatsoever from the Secretary of State's office. Set up that story and talk about it, please.
Well, I've essentially accused the Secretary of State of violating the Inspection of Public Records Act in multiple instances with this allegation that she threw out at a legislative hearing in earlier this year that she had uncovered evidence of foreign nationals illegally voting in elections. I wasn't there, so she now says she never used the term voter fraud, but when she uses the phrase foreign nationals illegally voting in elections, she might as well say voter fraud. But the first response was, we're not going to release the documents because it's an ongoing investigation, which is not a reason to not release documents. And it just went from there. I've been pursuing this for 7 or 8 months. I still don't have the documents. Tax and Revenue Department in the Martinez administration did the same thing, violated the Public Records Act in denying a request of mine a while back. They said there was a state police investigation that the state police chief later said there was no investigation. So... we'll see what happens, but I got an email from a Republican after I wrote this column about Gary King earlier this week that said, Heath, is there anyone in the state who, with a straight face, could accuse you of colluding with the Secretary of State? Has anyone in the state been more critical of her than you? And at least as far as journalists go, no, I don't think so.
Well, and I posted a column saying that Gary King owes you an apology, and the reason why I did is because I read what you write. And you've been very critical of the Secretary of State, and this tells me that Gary King, you have hit a sensitive spot with Gary King, and so sometimes the best defense is a good offense, right. And I think he is singling you out for pursuit. So can we shift gears a little bit?
Sure.
What do you make of this story coming out of Albuquerque, which is all over the Albuquerque television stations regarding Winston Brooks and Cheryl Williams Stapleton?
I'm interested to see, this PAC, this PAC that is defending the state representative says there are some facts that Larry Barker ignored, was given and didn't use. I haven't seen all of that. The PAC switched servers and sent out news releases that didn't get to me. I emailed them this morning. They said it'll get to you. We're going to resend it. But I'm not sure we know all the facts about this, but it does raise an interesting question about public employees who pull double duty as legislators, I think. And that's always a tricky thing to balance.
Where are you with this, Rob?
Well, I was interesting because I was going to bring that up too, because Gary King goes after Heath. And then this Independent Source PAC, which is a liberal political action group, goes after the reporter Channel 13. So I guess we're seeing a pattern here. I got the news release, and Heath, if you want to go to Capitol Report, New Mexico, you can click onto it and read the complete 3-page release. But it's I don't know. Maybe they're thinking that they might be able to shape some of the Larry Barker's investigations. Mm-hmm. I read the release, and they brought up some interesting things. But you can take any story that a reporter writes, and you can say, well, why didn't you write about this? Because you're talking about one specific topic, and yes, under the sun, there are a million other things that you can write about, but they didn't really challenge the veracity of Larry's charge, which is that Cheryl Williams Stapleton did not properly go through the right procedures to get leave, right. And that Winston Brooks took, I think, what can be fairly described as a pretty cavalier attitude that, oh yeah, we're just going to change the policy. Or actually, probably a more accurate thing to say is I, Winston Brooks, am going to change the policy unilaterally.
Right.
And it doesn't address the fact that over the years she's racked up $167,000. I sent Mr. Brooks an email yesterday when I wrote about this saying, is there any plans to recover that $167,000? Can you, as a superintendent, decide on your own to change policy? Doesn't it have to go through the school board? I didn't get a response. So I guess maybe that's better than a response from Gary King.
Well, and I'll say this about the situation with APS. I think, teachers, educational employees in this state, there are a lot of them serving in the legislature because as a group, they realize that it's beneficial to them
sure.
to have members in the legislature, and they work to create rules that allow their people to serve in the in the unpaid legislature while they're also educational employees. So they, in some ways, they have more influence than other groups in the legislature because they allow this sort of thing to happen.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there, Heath. And there's a lot of retired school teachers. We talked about Mimi Stewart earlier in this broadcast. There's a lot of retired and current educators, Vernon Aspel as well down south, and
Mary
there's
Helen
a
Garcia.
Lot of them. Yeah?
Yeah.
So now I need to defend Winston Brooks a little bit. She holds the purse strings.
Right.
If I was the superintendent, I'd do the exact same thing. Cross my fingers, hope, because you certainly, the last thing you want to do is hammer her.
Well, and that's part of this interesting dual relationship that is created when teachers are also legislators, because they also are responsible for getting capital outlay, which includes, playground equipment for schools in APS and things
Who's
like that.
Who's the boss?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And also, when you look at it, too, if you want to look at it cynically, you can say that Winston Brooks is part of the establishment. Cheryl Williams Stapleton is part of the establishment. They don't want to rock the boat. You could make that charge.
Does not rock any boats. That's it. We are News New Mexico. More with Heath Houseman, Rob Nicoleski. When we get back, we thank you for being there. Since you're there, we get to be here. We'll be right back, 18 after the hour.
New Mexico has rich reserves of natural gas and oil that benefit New Mexico in many ways. The oil and gas industry provides reliable energy that helps us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The industry also supports over 26,000 high-paying jobs. And get this, New Mexico's oil and gas industry pays over $6 million in taxes and other revenues to New Mexico's state and local governments every day. That was nearly $2.2 billion. $1 billion in 2010. These dollars pay for our teachers, build our public schools, and fund our universities. And communities across New Mexico benefit whether or not you have oil and gas in your area. With continued access to state, public, and private land, the oil and gas industry can continue to grow while protecting our environment for the benefit of New Mexico and the benefit of all of us. Learn more about New Mexico's oil and gas industry at www.nmoga.org.
In 2009, New Mexico-based Mind That Bird shocked the sporting world, winning the Kentucky Derby. In the process, he drew worldwide attention to one of New Mexico's longest-standing industries. New Mexico horse racing and breeding have been the Land of Enchantment's primary breadwinner for more than 50 years. New Mexico bred Pepper's Pride holds the national record for thoroughbreds with 19 consecutive wins and enjoyed an undefeated career. New Mexico bred runners such as First Moon Flash, Rocky Gulch, and Bye Bye JJ have all made their mark on the sport in New Mexico. Over 2 million out-of-state visitors attend races each year, boosting the state's economy. Each year, racing and breeding contributes nearly $500 million to our state's economy. From Hobbs to Farmington and Albuquerque to Sumlin Park, racetracks and farms contribute millions of dollars in taxes to the state. Horse racing and breeding provide solid support to our way of life in New Mexico. The next time you read about, hear about, or watch a New Mexico horse race, we hope it serves as a reminder that the New Mexico Horse Breeders Association has always supported maintaining our agricultural heritage.
Red Hawk Golf Club is now open. On the northern edge of Las Cruces, Red Hawk features everything you want when enjoying a day of golf. From the picturesque views of the Oregon Mountains to a challenging layout, Red Hawk has it all. Red Hawk was designed by legendary architect Ken Dye, who has laid out many well-known golf projects all over the world. With distance ranging from 5,500 to 7,500 yards, water coming into play on 8 holes to go along with 76 bunkers, there is no better option to play golf in the Southwest than Red Hawk. The new course is set on 200 acres, including 100 acres of turf, 50 acres of planted native grasses, and 50 more of natural desert. Become a member and enjoy unlimited rounds of golf, unlimited use of carts, and special privileges. For more information, visit golflascruces.com or call 575-373-8100. Once again, that's 575-373-8100.
Want to win big? Then get on down to Summit Park Racetrack and Casino today. Thursdays are thundering with $12,000 in cash giveaways every week. $12,000 every single Thursday. Each hand-paid jackpot of $500 or more gets you a shot at winning $2,000 during our 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. drawings, $3,000 during our 9 p.m. drawing, and the big prize of $5,000 at 10 p.m. Summit Park Racetrack and Casino supports responsible gaming. For help, call 1-800-572-1142. Plus, during our Jeepers Keepers Jeep Compass giveaway, we're not just giving away one brand new Jeep Compass, we're giving away two. See Club Fiesta for complete game rules. Drawings will be held every Wednesday on the half hour from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and again from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Every weekly drawing winner gets $100 in cash plus a certificate for a chance to win a brand new Jeep Compass during the Jeepers Keepers grand prize event on Wednesday, December 21st. Take I-10 to Sunland Park Exit 13.
In 2009, New Mexico-based Mind That Bird shocked the sporting world, winning the Kentucky Derby. In the process, he drew worldwide attention to one of New Mexico's longest-standing industries. New Mexico horse racing and breeding have been the Land of Enchantment's primary breadwinner for more than 50 years. New Mexico bred Pepper's Pride holds the national record for thoroughbreds with 19 consecutive wins and enjoyed an undefeated career. New Mexico bred runners such as First Moon Flash, Rocky Gulch, and Bye Bye JJ have all made their mark on the sport in New Mexico. Over 2 million out-of-state visitors attend races each year, boosting the state's economy. Each year, racing and breeding contributes nearly $500 million to our state's economy. From Hobbs to Farmington and Albuquerque to Sumlin Park, racetracks and farms contribute millions of dollars in taxes to the state. Horse racing and breeding provide solid support to our way of life in New Mexico. The next time you read about, hear about, or watch a New Mexico horse race, we hope it serves as a reminder that the New Mexico Horse Breeders Association has always supported maintaining our agricultural heritage.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where New Mexico's business comes first.
City so, Joe. City so.
We are News New Mexico. It is Friday, November 4th, 2011. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swicker. We have Heath Houseman here in studio. We have on our newsmaker line Rob Nicoleski, CapitalReportNewMexico.com. Gentlemen, a year ago we were talking Tea Party. This year we're talking Occupy. What are the differences and what are the commonalities?
Wow. We talked about this last time I was on a little bit, but you know,
I didn't think it lasts this long.
I've been watching Occupy Wall Street since. In fact, I went to an event last night that was not an Occupy event, but there were people who were part of that present, and the undertones were definitely there. And I've been observing this for a while, just kind of thinking about it. I haven't written anything about it because I've been kind of just digesting the whole thing. I still think, you know, they're Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street are mad at the same system for different reasons, and they might focus on different aspects of it, but they're mad at the same system, and they may be an ideological different in different places.
Style difference?
I do think there's some overlap. Policy, you know, what where the country needs to go. I think there is some overlap and some things where they are on very different places, but they see a similar problem, and. They're all people who are mad at the system and want it to change.
Rob.
Yeah, I think that's a good description. I think probably the biggest thing that separates the two of them is that the Tea Party people are mostly concerned about spending, government spending, mm-hmm. whereas I think generally speaking the Occupy Wall Street people, even though they may be mad at banks, and there's a number of Tea Party people who aren't crazy about banks and bailouts either, but I think most of the people in the Occupy Wall Street movement consider government to be a force for good, and they want to maybe decrease spending or tax breaks for corporations, but they certainly don't want to decrease the reach of government.
Well, my take on it is that there's a fundamental misunderstanding about what constitutes capitalism. If you look right at what happened back in 07, 08, Wall Street, which has a very corrupt connection with Washington and always has, mm-hmm. and has mm-hmm. very little scruples, they didn't have any problem with privatizing all the gains made on securitization. But then, and it was Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke and George Bush went to the legislature, the Congress, and said, hey, let's socialize the losses on the federal government. And I think that is the one thing that the Tea Party understands. And I'm not sure, I think Occupy Wall Street thinks that is capitalism, and it's not capitalism. Am I wrong?
The follow-up question is, do you think both are being treated the same by the government?
By the government?
Ooh. Yeah, do you think, because the Tea Party is saying that they were really hammered with needing permits and stuff, and Occupy has just kind of waltzed in and done what they wanted.
I don't think that's true at all.
Okay.
Have you seen what's going on in Oakland?
Yeah.
Police have been arresting Occupy Wall Street people in public places all over the country. It's created a real interesting debate about our parks, our public spaces,
yeah,
and who really owns them and what they can do in them.
Right.
I think.
Well, Rob, do you ever obtain a permit for throwing Molotov cocktails before you actually toss them?
Well, as long as they're nonviolent, I don't see any problem with that. But as we talked about before, the another difference between the Occupy movement and the Tea Party movement was the Tea Party usually came in, did their thing, and left. The Occupy people, basically we're arguing about camping permits.
Right. I have never seen the flag burned at a Tea Party event, nor have I seen anybody defecate. So I think that's a huge difference right there. We are News New Mexico. Okay, they're going to smack me around on the break.
Let's have
breakfast.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Red Hawk Golf Club in Las Cruces, New Mexico is open. It's been the talk of the golfing community for quite some time, and now is the time for you to hit the links. A Kendai course, Red Hawk features 76 bunkers and water on 8 holes. With range from 5,500 to 7,500 yards, there's a distance that fits your game. Become a member and enjoy unlimited rounds of golf, unlimited use of carts, and special privileges. Contact Red Hawk at 575-373-8100. National PGA Hall of Famer Bill Eschenbrenner serves as Golf Pro Emeritus. Superintendent Alan Salter comes to Las Cruces after serving as the superintendent at Farmington's Pinon Hills, one of the premier public courses in the nation. Red Hawk Golf Club. Visit golflascruces.com for more information or call 575-373-8100.
Do you know about the economic contributions of the 5 New Mexico horse racetracks? New Mexico racetracks contribute more than $63 million in gaming taxes to the state each year. Their gaming tax rate is 3 times higher than the rate paid by reservation casinos. Opening the door to new off-reservation casinos will severely reduce attendance at our tracks, and it will significantly reduce the revenue to the state and racing participants along with breeding farms. Help us preserve horse racing and breeding. Say no to off-reservation casinos.
When you're ready to plan something great, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we've created My Savings Plan, an online tool that comes free with a Wells Fargo savings account. With My Savings Plan, you can plan, set, and monitor your savings goals. You can also set up automatic transfers from your Wells Fargo checking account into your savings account. So plan your way to a brighter tomorrow. Call, click, or stop by today and talk with a Wells Fargo banker about My Savings Plan. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Red Hawk Golf Club is now open. On the northern edge of Las Cruces, Red Hawk features everything you want when enjoying a day of golf. From the picturesque views of the Oregon Mountains to a challenging layout, Red Hawk has it all. Red Hawk was designed by legendary architect Ken Dye, who has laid out many well-known golf projects all over the world. With distance ranging from 5,500 to 7,500 yards, water coming into play on 8 holes to go along with 76 bunkers, there is no better option to play golf in the Southwest than Red Hawk. The new course is set on 200 acres, including 100 acres of turf, 50 acres of planted native grasses, and 50 more of natural desert. Become a member and enjoy unlimited rounds of golf, unlimited use of carts, and special privileges. For more information, visit GolfLasCruces.com or call 575-373-8100. Once again, that's 575-373-8100.
Want to win big? Then get on down to Summit Park Racetrack and Casino today. Thursdays are thundering with $12,000 in cash giveaways every week. $12,000 every single Thursday. Each hand-paid jackpot of $500 or more gets you a shot at winning $2,000 during our 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. drawings, $3,000 during our 9 p.m. drawing, and the big prize of $5,000 at 10 p.m. Summit Park Racetrack and Casino supports responsible gaming. For help, call 1-800-572-1142. Plus, during our Jeepers Keepers Jeep Compass giveaway, we're not just giving away one brand new Jeep Compass, we're giving away two. See Club Fiesta for complete game rules. Drawings will be held every Wednesday on the half hour from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and again from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Every weekly drawing winner gets $100 in cash plus a certificate for a chance to win a brand new Jeep Compass during the Jeepers Keepers grand prize event on Wednesday, December 21st. Take I-10 to Sunland Park Exit 13.
New Mexico has rich reserves of natural gas and oil that benefit New Mexico in many ways. The oil and gas industry provides reliable energy that helps us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The industry also supports over 26,000 high-paying jobs. And get this, New Mexico's oil and gas industry pays over $6 million in taxes and other revenues to New Mexico's state and local governments every day. That was nearly $2.2 billion in 2010. These dollars pay for our teachers, build our public schools, and fund our universities. And communities across New Mexico benefit whether or not you have oil and gas in your area. With continued access to state, public, and private land, the oil and gas industry can continue to grow while protecting our environment for the benefit of New Mexico and the benefit of all of us. Learn more about New Mexico's oil and gas industry at www.nmoga.org.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where the search for best public policies and practices never ends.
D plus? Oh my God. I passed! I passed! Oh man! I got a D plus! I'm gonna graduate! I wish we'd known each other. This is a little awkward.
Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy. You like Dumb and Dumber and you like Tommy Boy.
I like all kinds of humor like that.
We have Rob Nicoleski on our newsmaker line. We got Heath Houselman here. That's Jim Spence. I'm Michael Swickard. We're talking Occupy. So, gentlemen, I hate to say this. I know people are eating breakfast, but if they stay in a park that has no facilities.
Right.
It's almost like the question about something about bears in the forest, isn't it?
So it raises another interesting question.
Yes.
I brought this up earlier. This is a public space.
What, yes.
Do people have the right to camp in there? The city gives permits for camping there. What are people supposed to do when they camp there? I mean, if the city allows them to camp there, what do they expect people? What do you do when you camp in the woods and you get up in the middle of the night or in the morning?
You do what the bears do.
Right. So if the city allows people to camp in the park, what do they expect people are going to do?
I believe there are other ordinances against doing what Michael and you guys were kind of alluding to, which we don't need to.
I would suggest those are contradictory.
I think the city allows
them to camp there but doesn't provide facilities and makes it illegal to
do those
do
things.
What do you think, Rob? What are
Rob,
people
tell
supposed
us.
To do?
Tell us, Rob.
Well, I'm just thinking that I'm not sure, and I'm pretty much a First Amendment absolutist,
yeah.
but I don't know how spending the night at a public park is a First Amendment issue. You can say whatever you want, debate whatever you want, but at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know if also at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, they probably aren't speaking. They aren't.
Well, it's a right of assembly is what it is. It's
right
of assembly.
Well, is right of assembly a 24-hour-a-day right?
Yeah, that's the question I've got.
Or is there something reasonable in here?
Right, and just like Justice Holmes says, you can't shout fire at a crowded theater. I mean, along a similar vein, there are people like in Zuccotti Park. There are people in New York City that live in that neighborhood. What about their rights to have peace and quiet at 2 o'clock in the morning? So, I don't quite see this. I said it flippantly, but there's a degree of truth to it. I mean, this is less a debate about First Amendment rights than it is about, you know, the rights to camp out.
So this is where you draw the lines.
Well, let me ask you this, Michael, because before the break you brought up, you know, defecating in public parks and flag burning.
Flag burning.
So let me ask you this: what's wrong with flag burning?
Well, to me, it's the quintessential test of whether you really believe in our representative republic. Because if they do something that sets your hair on fire, and you defend it because they have a right to do it, mm-hmm. then you truly are an American. But they suffer the consequences, which is they're one of the few people that if I see them on the side of the road broke down, I'm not stopping to help them. Yeah, almost everybody else, somebody broke
Fair
down
enough.
On. Even people that I don't like, enemies, I have stopped. This one person was so amazed because I stopped for a person that had threatened me because they were broke down between Carrizozo and Alamogordo. I stopped. And they said, what did you do that for? We didn't speak the rest of the way into Tularosa where they needed a ride. I said, no. You know, in the West, you know, my column is about the code of the West. Even your enemies, you treat them fairly.
Sure.
Rob, is it okay to burn flags?
I think it's protected under the First Amendment. Just like I think that even though it's deplorable, I think that Nazis have a right, neo-Nazis have a right to march through Skokie. I think you have to be consistent.
We've got our contributors and our co-host on the record as supporting the rights of flag burners here on News New Mexico.
What about you, Jim?
I am a First Amendment supporter, and I believe it's protected.
But you're not going to bring the lighter fluid, are
I'm
you?
Not sending any Christmas cards to flag burners.
So here's where I think these protests do get a little dicey, and it's happened with Tea Parties and Occupy people. Breaking windows. I mean, one of the things that happened in Oakland was a small group of people broke off and were breaking windows at Wells Fargo and other places, graffitiing the walls. But there were people coming behind them and trying to wash the graffiti off the walls, saying this is not what we're about and these people should stop doing this.
Absolutely. You've seen Tea Party do that?
There were instances in 2008 during the election in the South.
Really?
I can't remember what states.
I think that's really
where
an anomaly.
Tea Party protesters were they were encouraged on it was an online campaign. Go break windows at campaign offices, and
really?
It happened. Yeah,
oh, I
well,
hate that.
But
hate
you
that.
Have also been a defender of the Tea Parties. I've read columns where you have said they're not these monsters that everybody, well, not everybody, certain enemies of their philosophy try to make them out to be.
I am excited by any group of citizens that tries to take matters into their own hands and organizes. We complain about people not being involved in voting. Why would we then turn around and complain when some group decides to do it, even if we don't agree with their ideology?
So let me ask a question as we shift gears and time flies by and we're having so much fun. Tom Udall, he wants to amend the Constitution of the United States so that he can continue to collect union contributions, but the corporations can't contribute to his political opponents.
We know what Jim thinks about this proposal.
All right, so let's
Are you
get
saying
wrong.
I didn't phrase that properly?
Yes, you mischaracterized it, but I think you did it on purpose.
Okay.
All right,
I
Rob.
Might have.
Rob, weigh in on the Udall Amendment.
I'll just say this. If you go to my website, there's a very good rebuttal by Nick Gillespie of Reason Magazine, and I could not have said it any better than that. Before we run out of time, though, I want to ask Keith, since he's based out in Las Cruces, A, when does the Judge Murphy trial start, and B, what do you think is going to happen?
It's in February, assuming that it's not delayed again.
Okay, because originally it was supposed to start in November. Originally,
it was supposed to start October 31st, but then we had this, you know, mess where the judge dismissed four of the five charges and then reinstated four of the five charges, and by the time that all happened, it was such a mess that the defense attorney said, "No, I won't be ready on October 31st," and the judge said, "That's fair. You know, we just threw this whole thing into a tailspin. You can have some time to reset."
So do you think, Heath, along that same line of questioning, do you think that the Supreme Court Justice Charles Daniels should have recused himself from making decisions on the Murphy case?
This is not dodging your question. However,
like a dodge.
I think there are good arguments on both sides.
All right. Good.
Certainly, he's been named in court records as potentially doing the same thing that Judge Murphy has potentially been accused of doing. Although I will note that Murphy is not charged with paying a bribe to get his job.
His office.
He's charged with telling someone else they had to do it, and nothing else. And there's no evidence been presented publicly that that person actually had to do it, that Murphy had to do it, that any other judges did it, that there was a wider conspiracy. In essence, he's charged with saying something stupid. Now, it may be that there's truth behind what he said. We just haven't seen the evidence, if there is. On the flip side, Daniels is right when he says judges have a duty in state law that if they believe they can objectively handle a case, to do it. It is not a simple matter of even if there's an appearance of impropriety, I should recuse myself. We could change our code of judicial conduct, but the way it's written right now, judges are supposed to decide whether they believe they can handle a case objectively, regardless of the appearance. And if they believe they can, the code says then you're required to do it. So, you know,
is there other judges that could do this?
Sure, there are, and there are still three. There's still a majority of one justice has recused herself from the case. She's listed as a witness in the case. There are still three, a majority. The Supreme Court can appoint temporary justices if they need to, but you know, I've covered courts for a long time, and I've seen judges in criminal cases and otherwise say, you know, yeah, this thing could be viewed as iffy on my part, but I believe I can handle this case objectively, and that means I have a duty to do it. So.
Your thought, Rob?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with a lot of what Heath said. I think this goes back to just the larger issue that since judges in New Mexico run for re-election, when you dip that toe into the political pool, I think that you're declaring whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you're always going to have that cloud over your head, and I think that. I had talked to Dennis Johns, who used to run the state bar, who says that the system needs to be overhauled, and I agree with that. Because you just don't want to, especially if it's a political thing, and this is a political thing all through and through. Because it's according to Judge Murphy, allegedly he's saying you gotta play ball with Big Bill and the Democrats to get a seat at the table. Once you're in that political arena and then it becomes a Democrat Republican thing, and the fact is that I believe just about every justice on the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court's a Democrat, and there's always going to be that pall cast upon that.
So can we get one more other topic in morning? There was a ballot up in Colorado that might have New Mexico implications and even nationwide implications, Proposition 103, which was a proposition to raise taxes on the state population to increase funding for education.
Oh, yeah.
It got crushed. What are your does that suggest anything about the political environment to you guys?
Raise taxes on who?
But almost across the board. Yeah. I mean, it was a broad-based
attack. You're never going to pass a tax increase that you're asking everybody to pay in.
But
people will vote for a tax increase for someone else, not for themselves.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't tax me. Tax the guy over there by the tree.
Tax the rich or tax the middle class or whatever, you know. People might vote for a tax increase for other people when they don't fall into the bracket that would be affected.
But school bond issues pass all the time.
Well, they're characterized as we already raised your taxes 20 years ago. This won't raise them anymore.
Oh, okay.
Although people say it a little more cleverly than that. It's a continuation. You know, you won't see an increase, and that's accurate most of the time. They don't ask for an increase. They ask to continue something. 20 years ago they said, oh, this will just pay for this one building, and then it'll expire, and then 20 years later they say, no, let's not expire it. Let's pay for this one building now. And just builds up over time.
Rob Nicoleski, CapitalReportNewMexico.com is the website. Thank you so much for what you do.
Have a good weekend, guys.
All right. See you Monday.
Rob.
Heath Hausman, NEMPolitics.net. Always love that site. Thank you so much for what you do.
I'm glad to be on your show.
We are News New Mexico. You can go to newsnm.com. That's a lot of websites, you know.
It is, but these guys do a great job. And I don't think we could exist without either one of them, to be honest with you.
Exactly true. We are News New Mexico. It is 46 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Want to win big? Then get on down to Summit Park Racetrack and Casino today. Thursdays are thundering with $12,000 in cash giveaways every week. $12,000 every single Thursday. Each hand-paid jackpot of $500 or more gets you a shot at winning $2,000 during our 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. drawings, $3,000 during our 9 p.m. drawing, and the big prize of $5,000 at 10 p.m. Summit Park Racetrack and Casino supports responsible gaming. For help, call 1-800-572-1142. Plus, during our Jeepers Keepers Jeep Compass giveaway, we're not just giving away one brand new Jeep Compass, we're giving away two. See Club Fiesta for complete game rules. Drawings will be held every Wednesday on the half hour from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and again from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Every weekly drawing winner gets $100 in cash plus a certificate for a chance to win a brand new Jeep Compass during the Jeepers Keepers grand prize event on Wednesday, December 21st. Sunland Park Racetrack. Take I-10 to Sunland Park Exit 13.
Want someone to handle your screen printing and embroidering needs? That's the specialty at Sports Accessories. Whether you're looking to get your own team in uniforms or if you're looking for your favorite team's apparel, Sports Accessory has your back. Sports Accessories can also take care of any non-athletic screen printing and embroidering requests. It doesn't matter if you're looking for political t-shirts or something for your family. Use Sports Accessories. Visit their website at sportsaccessories.biz. That's sportsaccessories, one word, .biz. Located in Las Cruces, Sports Accessories customers are nationwide, from as far west as the University of Hawaii in the Pacific to the East Coast at the University of Massachusetts. When it comes to screen printing and embroidering, you need to check out Sports Accessories. Call 575-526-2417 to speak to a screen printing and embroidering expert. The number again is 575-526-2417.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Super Checking from Bank 34.
Open a Bank 34 Super Checking account today with only $50 minimum to open. No monthly service charge, free online banking, and free user-friendly bill pay. No fee use at 43,000 surcharge-free all-point network ATMs worldwide. And interest on balances $500 and above.
Stop in for more details.
Bank 34, 220 North Tulsa Boulevard in Las Cruces and 500 10th Street in Alamogordo. Bank34online.com.
Member FDIC.
Do you know about the economic contributions of the five New Mexico horse racetracks? New Mexico racetracks contribute more than $63 million in gaming taxes to the state each year. Their gaming tax rate is three times higher than the rate paid by reservation casinos. Opening the door to new off-reservation casinos will severely reduce attendance at our tracks, and it will significantly reduce the revenue to the state and racing participants, along with breeding farms. Help us preserve horse racing and breeding. Say no to off-reservation casinos.
New Mexico has rich reserves of natural gas and oil that benefit New Mexico in many ways. The oil and gas industry provides reliable energy that helps us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The industry also supports over 26,000 high-paying jobs. And get this, New Mexico's oil and gas industry pays over $6 million in taxes and other revenues to New Mexico's state and local governments every day. That was nearly $2.2 billion in 2010. These dollars pay for our teachers, build our public schools, and fund our universities. And communities across New Mexico benefit whether or not you have oil and gas in your area. With continued access to state, public, and private land, the oil and gas industry can continue to grow while protecting our environment for the benefit of New Mexico and the benefit of all of us. Learn more about New Mexico's oil and gas industry at www.nmoga.org.
Attention high school football fans, this is Kyle Henderson, the publisher of NMPreps.com, inviting you to check out NMPreps.com after you've caught your weekly statewide prep football scoreboard show. New Mexico High School football lives on nmpreps.com, and this season we invite you to check out our nonstop coverage of the 2011 prep football season. Take advantage of our 30-day free trial and see why nmpreps.com is a staple in New Mexico high school football. From our Friday night statewide scoreboard to our HD video highlights, team rankings, tons of message board activity, to our very popular top 100 player rankings, nmpreps.com has everything the high school football fan is looking for. Take advantage of our free 30-day free trial at nmpreps.com. And remember, New Mexico high school football lives on nmpreps.com. Once again, this is Kyle Henderson of nmpreps.com inviting you to join us for the fantastic 2011 football season. We'll see you at nmpreps.com.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we are in the business to help New Mexico businesses.
Together, you and I are going to make the greatest single contribution to science since the creation of fire.
Yeah, the Mayfield Las Cruces game. We are News New Mexico, Friday, November 4th, 2011. We have Kyle Henderson, nmpreps.com, talking high school football.
Kyle, we were going to talk Cruces Mayfield for this segment completely, but we got to talk Cleveland Rio Rancho at least for a minute here. What the heck was going on? I thought they were going to blow them out.
Yeah, I'll recap it real quick. It was an 18-0 lead before Cleveland started to mount their comeback. It was 18-6 at halftime. Cleveland stormed back, took the lead 20-18 in the third quarter. And then finally, in the final minutes, Cleveland scored once more. Rio Rancho scored in a miraculous interception that turned into a touchdown. Could get the two-point conversion. Final result, 34-32. I'll tell you two things that I learned. One, Cleveland is beatable. And two, Rio Rancho is a pretty good football team. Rio Rancho's lost three games this season to teams that are combined 27-3 on the season. Lost to Cleveland 10-0. Goddard still has to take care of business, but they're likely to be a 10-0 team. And then they've lost to El Dorado, potentially 7-3 after beating Sandia tomorrow.
So let's get to Cruces Mayfield now. This is traditionally in the regular season the biggest high school football game in the state of New Mexico, at least if you measure it by attendance every single year. Your selection in that contest, Kyle?
You know, like you said, I mean, it's not, you know, arguably the biggest. I mean, it's the biggest. There's nothing as big as it. I mean, it's the biggest thing. I mean, it's been circled on my calendar since last year, you know. So, I'm finally excited for this time. I like the Dogs tonight because, you know, of their defensive front four. I mean, Tyler Tisby with 7 sacks, Jacob Benegas 7 sacks, Jeff Segovia 4 sacks, Cameron Dixon 5 sacks. I mean, those are some big-time defensive linemen. I think they're going to beat the Trojans in the trenches tonight. However, this game is always a coin flip, so, you know, I have to make the pick. And even though I'd like to sit on the fence on this one, I got to take the Dogs to win their fifth game against the Trojans tonight.
So
fifth game in a row.
Fifth game consecutively. There you go.
Yeah.
So how do you think both of these schools stack up going into the playoffs? I mean, Mayfield did not look good at this time last year going into the Cruces game, and then they were disappointing coming out of it. They turn around and win 4 straight games in the playoffs to capture the state championship. Where do you see these two schools coming out of this game?
You know, just like you said, I mean, almost losing this game, I mean, it almost, like, you know, humbles you enough to, you know, just get you ready for the high school football playoffs, and then the eventual, you know, loser of this game is a state champion. I mean, the playoff seeding implications are riding high on this game. I mean, Cruces being 8-1, Mayfield being 7-2. I mean, it's a high intensity, high seeding implications, high stakes game tonight. So, you know, there's a lot riding on it. And I think, you know, Mayfield is a very good football team. I've seen them twice this year. I've seen Las Cruces twice this year, and Mayfield is, I mean, they're definitely the real deal. I mean, Axton Franzoy is probably one of the best quarterbacks that I've seen since Matthew Sandoval back in the 2006 season. He's just got such a high football IQ, and he does not make any mistakes. Cruces, on the flip side, led by 1,500-yard rusher Xavier Hall. In my opinion, I think he's a better back than James Hall just because he brings the power element to the back foot. So it's going to be a great game tonight. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be within one score tonight.
Now, Jim, what was it? It was 2002 when it was reversed that the Cruces Mayfield won, and then in the state championship, then it was. Wasn't it?
I wish you hadn't asked me that question because, you know, as the years roll by, sometimes
these things. In 2002, Mayfield won the district game, and then Cruces came back and won the state championship game. That's how it worked out.
Very good. Very good memory, Michael. And
that was really funny because that was when Oñate won the 4A championship. Yeah. Las Cruces had two.
Right.
Two championships out of three teams, and the other team came in second.
I'll never forget that day because Las Cruces and Mayfield played before literally 28, 29, maybe even 30,000 people at Aggie Memorial Stadium early in the day. I actually had to go do a women's basketball game on the radio down at UTEP. New Mexico State played UTEP and then come back and do the Oñate game. So that was the busiest day I'd ever spent on the radio. Kyle, sometimes when I look at the Cruces Mayfield game, I look at the coaching staff, Michael Bradley and Jim Miller, and I think to myself, you know, it is huge and the emotions will be running big tonight, but both these coaching staffs have to manage the almost what I would call the immediate hangover after the game. They've gotten better at it, but there's a lot of emotion that gets spent in this contest, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is, and you know, I previewed both teams, and I was down there at both high schools this summer, and you know, I was talking to Bradley, and you know, I was asking him about the state championship game, but you know, and he liked winning that game, but the two games that he remembers most are beating La Cueva from last year and losing to Las Cruces again. I mean, I asked him about the Las Cruces game, and he just kind of sat there for a minute and didn't say anything, you know, and those two coaches want it badly because they're going to hear about this game for the next, you know, cycle till we hit next year. So the emotional hangover is huge, but what bodes well for both teams is I think both teams after tonight and after the seeding committee meets on Saturday will both have top four seeds unless something very drastic happens.
Well, and even on the flip side, the team that loses doesn't feel good, but even I have noticed that the team that wins this big game every Friday, first Friday night in November, they are flat. Their first game in the playoffs. Sometimes they're so highly seeded that they can win while not putting forth their best performance. But there is a flatness that follows this game for the winner, too.
Yeah, well, think about it. You go from playing a November 4th game that has over 20,000 fans to playing that quarterfinal game if you're a four seed or a top four seed, and then there's, you know, maybe 2,500 fans. So you get out there and it almost feels like preseason after that big one. But I think, you know, both of these teams are at such a high level that, you know, they're only going to get better from the matchup. And like I said, even though I picked the Dogs, I think, you know, I have great respect for the Trojans, and I'm expecting such a great football game tonight. I think it's going to be very close.
Well, and a couple of affiliates in our listening area, the Alamogordo Tigers kind of on the bubble right now, but I'm thinking more about the Carlsbad Cavemen. Got off to such a great start, had a disappointing loss at Clovis. They got to be just like a caged lion right now because I think they're looking for redemption, but they don't really have anything that they can do right away.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a lot to shake out. I mean, what's interesting about Carlsbad is Carlsbad could be 8-2, right, after they beat Hobbs.
Right.
And then you have Cruces. If Cruces loses to Mayfield tonight, they'll be 8-2. And if you go off the seeding criteria, and Carlsbad fans, this is what I would do, go off the seeding criteria, and you should actually be seeded over an 8-2 Las Cruces, because what it's going to come down to is common opponents. And remember, if Mayfield beats Las Cruces,
right?
Well, who did Carlsbad beat?
Yeah,
they beat the Mayfield Trojans.
Well, one of the things we've learned about seeding based on last year's results is they don't mean that much, do they?
They certainly don't. If you can win in November, you're the state champions in December.
Kyle Henderson, NMPreps.com, thank you so much for what you do.
Thanks, guys.
We want to thank everyone making this program possible, especially Jerry Harden, our producer-director. We are News New Mexico.